their main goal at 39 horses. I just let them. I didn't know when they were on. They just went a bit of evil this morning. The sand is pretty heavy, so it was pretty hard work. I worked this morning. That's why I was a bit late. Yeah, I got the mail door off.
You don't have to divert too much from what your original plan was. If it's only 72 hours later or whatever, a couple of days. You don't have to.
That Saturday meeting when it was cool off course, they didn't
One on the Monday. Then she came back to Musselbrook. Yeah, I'm going to ask you guys about that. I'm just going to say, recently, with Gosford being postponed, how does that affect? Because now it'll be most Saturday. She is a really nice mare. Oh, yeah. Rehearsal or just go? Two runs have been at the provincials at Wong. Launched in 2015 by Race in New South Wales with support from the New South Wales government, the country and provincial championships has created a new push in support and promotion for New South Wales racing in country areas, ensuring that horses from across the state are part of Sydney's prestigious autumn carnival.
Here and the aptly named Go Rev for the Reverend Hollander with a tongue tie on is... sorry, I've gone to race three. I've gone to miss the Riverside Caravan Park here. The benchmark 55, where Sprite Zam, with the Norton bit on, the blinkers are off, and the lugging bit off, is a $6 chance. French Command at $7. Sathali is a $4.80 chance. Then we go to Wide Eyed at $5. Royal Flush at $6.50. Hashtag no idea, that should be named after me, at $6.50. Natural Connection is out, no deduction. Clarendon House, now it will have earmuffs on in the pre-parade only and a lugging bit on, but they've taken the blinkers off and taken the earmuffs on, I'd say, during the race. And it's a $10 chance. Overgrown at $6.50, and Cool Dragon is a $31 chance. Once again, not a lot of activity here, race two.
Launched in 2015 by Race in New South Wales with support from the New South Wales government, the country and provincial championships has created a new push in support and promotion for New South Wales racing in country areas, ensuring that horses from across the state are part of Sydney's prestigious autumn carnival. Hello and welcome to On the Lounge. Tonight, three trainers to embody the spirit of country racing and the championships. Welcome, gentlemen.
Jamie.
Greg, I'm happy to see you've worn your trademark hat today.
Yeah, but I might take it off because my mother always told me it's bad manners to have a hat on inside. So glad to arrive in it, but I might remove it at this point if that's all right.
Yeah, that's all right. Why don't you put it in the centre here on the table so we can still see it? Now, guys, we are here to talk about the country and provincial championships, and Greg and Chris, you both saw success last year. Greg, we'll start with you. You won the country championships with Clearly Innocent, Tommy Berry on board. Tell us what that was like.
It was probably one of the highlights of my training career. I mean, I know it wasn't a black type race or anything like that, so there's no great kudos as far as that was concerned. But being a country trainer that started with three horses in work to culminate in winning that and be crowned the best horse in New South Wales country was an honour that I'll never forget.
And Chris, before we talk about your provincial championship win, you've now taken over the training of Clearly Innocent.
Yeah, we've been going on Greener Pastures, finally asked me if I'd like to train him, and of course here on my app because you wouldn't arrive in such good order, so looking forward to him getting to the racetrack.
And he settled in all right?
Took a little while, but he's now.
All right, so you last year, you had in the provincial championships 8 of the 15 runners, and then you ended up getting the Cornella of the race. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, look, it's something we've never had, you know, that big a number in any type of race.
$81, Fleetwood Lady $81,
such a Miss bigger stable Bree than $81.
Then we go to Unique Miss with a nose roll on is a $5 chance.
It was very,
when in doubt,
it was good that we were able to get them in. And on race day, I suppose, you know, we had to let everyone know our thoughts
Bell's
on all the horses.
Is an $18 chance.
And it was a great thrill to win. Still very hard to win. It was a very open race. I think the final last year was
Behind the Hula with a near-side bubble cheeker on at $61. And, Green Cash out, no deduction. Lap Luck out, no deduction.
Well, we'll talk more about that later on in the show too. And Cameron, you're an up-and-coming trainee coming from Mudgee. What is it like now, a trainer from in the country, when you've got something like the country championships to prepare for horses now?
Sort of gives you a goal, I think, when you know you've got a horse with a bit of ability. You used to sort of poke away a little bit, and until they reached open company, there wasn't a lot to really aim for. You just come through your grades and progress as you went along. But now people are a bit more focused on 12 months down the track, even with a younger horse maybe a bit longer. Yeah, just a lot to look forward to. The bigger prize money, I mean. If you can even win your heat, it can probably pay for that horse plus more of the owners if they've got more in work just through winning a heat.
And Greg, speaking of the prize money, it's surely got to be a great incentive.
Oh, of course it is, because the cost of training a horse and keeping a horse for the owners now is getting higher and higher and higher. Every time you're turning around, you're paying overs for feed, farrier, dental, veterinary. It's never ending. And up until a couple of years ago, when Racing New South Wales raised the country prize money level from I think we were racing for $8,000 or $9,000, in a country race. Now we're running for 20, and the winner's getting 11. So, a number of years ago, we were making our point clear that we needed to have an increase, and thankfully, Racing New South Wales, listened and made an effort to do that and did that, and then went one step further and put on the highway handicap. So that was a coup as well.
Well, guys, let's take a step back and look at the path that you guys have started with. And Greg, we'll start with you. And you used to break in horses. You had Ha Ha, Typhoon Tracy, Mackayzie Diva. From breaking in horses to now being a trainer, what lessons can you take from those days to what you can find now?
I think having never worked for a racehorse trainer, these two guys, obviously, Chris learned a lot from his father, Max, who I broke a lot of horses in for.
Unnamed strategy at $8.50.
So I had a great association with Max for a long while. And in those days, didn't have a lot to do with Chris because, he was probably at school, hopefully, learning how to read and write and do his arithmetic that he's now very good at. But you do learn. I learned a lot from the trainers I was breaking in for because I wanted to know what they wanted in their horse for me to present it correctly. So everyone's a bit differently, manage their property differently. So I did learn a lot from Max, as I did learn a lot from Gay Waterhouse and Peter Moody and Lee Freeman and all those people that I was breaking horses in for. But I just took my basic love of the horse and horsemanship skills through to the next level because I realised that you can't break horses in forever, and I fell into being a racehorse trainer, I guess. I learned. I made a lot of mistakes. Learned as I went along, and I think it's become. It turns from being a love of the horse into a dead set profession, and you've got to be so professional now in every way you behave and act, and with owners comes more responsibility as well. And going back to what Chris just said, then I mean I can't even begin to imagine how you got through championship day last year with 8 horses with the number of owners trying to get around them all on the day, and how do you say where you're going to be and how you cope with all those emotions. It's a big business now, and to do what we've got to do to keep on side with the owners and everything is a full-on experience. And so your love of the animal is still there, but it sometimes becomes a bit secondary to what you've got to do with all your self-promotion and publicity you've got to deal with.
And Cameron, what about you? Because your family, you've come from breaking in horses as well. How's that helped you as a trainer now?
Mainly, I think, through Dad. I see Dad more so as a horseman as well as a horse trainer. I think a lot of horse trainers know how to train horses and all that sort of thing, but mainly the compassion side of things. Dad was a real horse lover.
$15 a place. Magic Benito is a $17 chance. Prince Navo at $26. Macklin Dares at $10.
It was long before he was even a horse trainer. and he moved on Dharma to breaking Sala, with the blinkers a lot of the things we've learned about how to keep horses happy and just a different impression over the of a horse rather than just getting
two
a
cents a win, and 2 cents a place to deduction.
And Chris,
there.
You grew up in a hunter, and your dad Max, you were surrounded by champions, there was Luck and Star,
I'll take money
and from a young age, did you have the inspiration to follow in your father's footsteps?
Yeah, always, not knowing much else, and coming from a real racing background, I would say I was pushed into it by any means, but it was just always there, and it was always something that I wished to do, and I was fortunate enough to spend a long time with my father, and things grew from there.
Are you still holding on to lessons that he taught you back when you were younger, what you apply now?
Yeah, very much so. I think any trainer, from them early formative years, you learn lessons and things that you can always fall back on, and they're always there, and they're something that I'll never forget.
And Cameron, what did your parents say to you when you wanted to move into being a trainer?
I think Dad was pretty proud, but as Chris said, I was never pushed into it either. My sister and I sort of veered away from horses a little bit when we were growing up, and the way that I came back into it, actually, I was 16 in year 10, and I had to do work experience for a week. I remember saying to my teacher, practical work teacher, he sort of said, you better not go and do it with your parents because you need some experience in some other field. Anyway, that was 15 years ago. I haven't done anything else yet.
You're hooked after that.
Exactly, yeah. Wheel riding track work and all sorts of things on work experience. We're probably not supposed to be doing, but wheel riding Dad's breakers and things like that. So that was good, yeah.
Now, I love country racing. I think there's something so special about when you go out to the track. They're all so picturesque. The people are incredible. Greg, what is it that you love about country racing?
I think that laconic atmosphere of Australian country life and country people. Australia's famous for it. We're a pretty laid back bunch. And at this point in time, there's probably not the pressure on out there that there is in the provincial city level where there are greater expectations because of the greater costs involved. There's a lot of money invested. The grassroots level with the mum and dad trainers and the owner breeders, particularly, that's where the love, as Cameron just said then, that loving the animal. We do deal with a lot of owner breeders, don't we, Cam? People are out on the stations and they've got a couple of mares that, my grandfather raced the mother and she was this and she was that, and they keep that family going, which we do as trainers now. If we have a bit of luck with a particular breed or a particular horse, we'll go and buy the relatives, won't we, Chris? You stick with it because it's worked and you know them. But I think that the country atmosphere with less pressure makes it a little bit more enjoyable, and you can retain that enjoyment in racing. Albeit when you lose, you've got to suck it up a bit and go home and work out where you went wrong. But just that Australian notion of being a bit laid back and relaxed, you find that a lot still in Queensland racing, because it's such a vast area of Queensland, and you look at a Saturday race day in Queensland and there's 14, 15 meetings being held. So there's horses running everywhere with at that lower level with the mum and dad breeder
owner. And Chris, do you find with training in the country versus in the city, you can have tendency a lot more small stables, they've got more of a hands-on approach compared to what you see the powerhouse stables in the city?
We just see a lot of that in the country areas, the real horse and like these tips, those that are real hands-on, and you do see more of that as we're going on. I think there were them type of people in the provincial and city, but I think the biggest stables and that, it's now more a business, and that's just the way things are heading.
And Cameron, you grew up around your dad and Harry Mayer. What stands out in your mind from the early days when you go out with them to the track?
Lots of things, just like we touched on before, the compassion for the horse. And I know Dad and Harry were the type of guys, if they weren't involved in racing, they would still be involved in horses in one way or another, because that was the way they were, the way Dad still is, just the love of the horse, basically. Yeah.
And Greg, you've seen racing all around the world, but what is it about the characters in the country racing that you love?
Well, I mean, most people in Australia, and I I fall in that category too. Sometimes we talk too much and we mean what we say and we say what we mean. I mean, people aren't afraid to voice their opinion and tell your stories. I mean, I think it becomes a lost art in sharing your knowledge and sharing your stories because you can learn a lot about where you're going and what you're doing and how to improve yourself by listening to some of the old timers that have been there before. I learn a lot about training and educating horses through guys that were indirectly involved with the light horse through the war period, through my grandfather and those sort of stories. So, but you, the characters in country racing are maybe the guys that you first meet when you arrive at the track, and he's the car park attendant, but his father was a jockey and his mother, you know, always rode at the pony club. And I don't know anything about horses, but I love a punk. Can you give us a tip, you know? And
the seventh event, we put out number two.
And he said, by the way, if you get hungry, go down and see Joyce at the canteen. She'll give you a good buddy, you know, homemade pie. So before you get in the gate, you've got his life story, where to go to get a feed, give me the best tip you can for the day, and when you see him on the way out and he's still there, he'll either be thanking you for the tip or not giving you the advice on the cake next time because he lost. You know, there's all those sort of people. People are happy to talk about themselves and give you a good story.
Glitterama and $4.60 makes
that's because they got more time. I think, as Chris said, business, city business now and training is so intense that people don't have time to
how do you do
tell you those stories. It's all about the focus of that one particular race today. Are we going to win it?
Mashani Astana at $15.
What went wrong? Why didn't we win that?
And Gallant Dragon at $51.
I think people are just going to learn to chill out a little bit about it and enjoy it.
Is it for the, for the holiday? There's not much whether activity whatsoever on any races. Larry comes back to life. Thank you.
Okay, I'm 5-10-8-1. I'm with the 5 Glitterama here. This is a fourth run back today, and she was huge to win Owen Championship Day, qualifying day. I have a Moscow Ruby. She just come from off the speed and went bang and put paid on. Moscow Ruby come out to win yesterday at Tamworth, so the form's been pretty. I mean, the only thing you can find against this little mare today, I mean, a wet track right there, a track and distance form's right there. But
we're going to get some good stories
out of it. But I'll say, I reckon this is an easier race than what she contested last start.
Just try to keep the conversation.
He has been in a couple of races. His last one, he went to the fifth in the good class, four behind Shadow Affair, and then he went to the Corindai Cup, beat the 2.5. That's good enough to pick these up and beat them. But the big weight
is five, 10, 8, 1
for me, Sean, in the last race, mate.
And interesting, Cole Cowan, he's been a sponsor there for years, and the Holstein's the Frisian dairy cattle, and he's one of the biggest in the area.
Did you know everything, don't you?
No, Google it. Yeah. Now they're a bit like you, Munz. They wear a rug. Anyway, now.
Thank you.
Right.
Let's talk about the early days when you guys were getting your start in your career.
Very, very light
Chris, for you, it really sort of all took
I'm
off in 2003 when your father sadly passed away. And you were 32 at the time, and then you had to step up and take over a stable.
Race. But I think
how
now
was that time for you as a 32-year-old?
Did you feel pressure? Meeting with Gosford being off and the fact Gaz is going to be there, really sort of pulling the eyes out of him in the enclosure. And normally providing 2 to 3 interviews a race today, Gaz.
And it happened rather suddenly, so pressure-wise, I think when I reflect back, I probably was under some pressure, but you don't think of it at the time. We had a job to do, and some good people around me.
Help you find
so
a winner right
now,
game.
Any game where you're any stable now that it's getting bigger, you have so many good support staff, and I've still got them people today. So I was very lucky from that perspective, and things rolled on reasonably smooth.
And it wasn't long before you then got your maiden Group 1 win.
Yeah, a year later, but it seems a long time ago now. But yeah, it was.
And Greg, talk to us about the influence that Barbara O'Donnell at Pine Lodge had for you in the early stages of your career.
Oh, it was just the inspiration and the courage that I guess she gave me.
Talk to you later on.
When you are young or you're dealing into something that's new, you do tend to have periods of self-doubt, or should I or shouldn't I?
It's 10:31. Good morning, I'm Gemma Cutting. Starting with the sporting headlines, young fullback Tyler Cornish will make his debut for the Titans in place of the injured Jarrod Hayne.
It's funny when you're in a situation like this, that you're there, suddenly everyone's looking at you.
Well, I just found I was never strengthened with the return of Dan Sargent because you got no one to give you a kick up the backside.
Exactly.
The Australian team and coaching staff
have
had their first look at the pitch.
People look to you to make those decisions, whereas when Max was there, they'd all look at Max.
Coach Darren Lehman and
what are you all looking at me for?
Well,
you know, what do you want us to do now? How are we going to do this?
Morning, and, with the selected pitch expected to be slower and provide lower bounce than the available
options. It was a bit of a saviour, I suppose, because I was
the Western Sydney Wanderers are facing an imminent departure from the Asian Champions League
right
if they're defeated
for
a third straight.